Word tells us that there'll be perilous times in the last days. All kinds of things are going to be manifesting. But there's something that the Spirit shared with me this morning. It started kind of yesterday. So let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Glory. You know, we are really at a time where we really need to set our heart toward the Lord. We really need to be vigilant and sober. That means consistent and alert, because the enemy walks about as a roaring lion, doesn't he? You know what a roaring lion means? It means he can only roar. That's why it's called a roaring lion. You know, I always looked at the devil as an ant with a big megaphone. You know?
Hey, you.
You know? And so many times we get taken by surprise because of the roaring lion. They're called attack of the voices. You know, it's like, man, all of a sudden you do something, man, and every voice from hell comes out. You know, the attack of the voices. And in Matthew 12 and verse 43, it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, this is what the Spirit says. So everybody got it. The Spirit says this. So the Spirit speak, don't they? I will return to my house. That house is something that he calls you, because he's either left you, been cast from you, been broken from you. Somehow he has left you. He's been attached to you. He's been assigned to you. You've inherited him. Or you've been walking with him for multiple years and not even known that he was there. That was not the voice of the stranger. Okay? Hallelujah. And so in this, it says that he has left you. He's left your house from which he came. And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept and put up, because he's going to return, isn't he? Spirits return. This is foolishness to think that once a spirit's been removed from you, that he's never going to try to come back. That's dumb. That's not Christ's doctrine. Jesus told us they're going to attempt to come back. It's amazing how many times somebody will come up, man, I ain't got a spirit. Well, why are you doing the same thing you used to?
I don't know why.
That's a duff and dumb spirit. Duff and dumb. Duff, dumb and, never mind. Dumb and deaf spirit. Shuparubakasi. So he says, I'm going to return to where I came from. And when he finds it empty, swept, and put in order, he goes and takes with him seven others. So, one voice turns into seven. And they enter and dwell there in the last day, because why? They've convinced that person. Those voices have overtaken that individual. And it says in that person's worst state is worse than when it first started. Now, it doesn't always manifest instantly that way. It starts within you first, not outwardly. It starts inwardly first. So what happens is, we call this the attack of the voices. And it seems that once that is opened up, if you've ever realized that you've done something, and it was something innocent, something ignorant, just by a mistake, let me tell you, every voice from everywhere all of a sudden comes. Why? Because they are waiting to re-enter you. They look at you as their home. They've tried other places. They've been in other people. But to them, there's nothing like home sweet home. And you're it. In John chapter 10. Hallelujah. John chapter 10 and verse 1 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So in other words, knowing the voice of God, of the Lord, knowing the voice of the Spirit is important to be led. If you're not knowing the voice of the Spirit of God, you won't be led, you'll be misled. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep what? follow him, for they know his what? They know his voice. Because they what? They follow him because they what? They know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. They'll what? Flee from him, because they'll know the voice, but they're not going to follow the stranger. Does everybody got it? So they're going to know the voice of the stranger, aren't they? In fact, that was probably the first voice you and I knew. We knew the voice of the stranger. But because we know the voice of the stranger, we won't follow the stranger. We will follow the Lord, the voice of the Lord. Is everybody okay? For they do not, it says that they do not know the voice of the stranger. In other words, in this not knowing the voice of the stranger is the areas that we will not follow the voice of the stranger, because every one of us knows the voice of the stranger. Amen? We know that voice by its fruit, don't we? Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, what? More abundantly. So we see that there's a leading here. When we are led by the voice of God, there's an abundance of life. Now, the first abundance of life, first of all, starts within you. So many times we're looking for the abundance of life outwardly when it starts inwardly. As it starts inwardly and maintains inwardly, then it begins to manifest outwardly also. It's like a cup of water. When you fill that cup and you keep filling it, eventually it begins to overflow and affect the outside, doesn't it? Not only is the inside of the cup filled, but now it's overflowing and it's affecting the outside. Amen? Everything else is getting wet. In John chapter 8, in verse 42, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. John 8, 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now listen, we can still hear God and disobey. I'm telling you, I remember the Lord telling me, many people pray but don't obey. So we do hear the voice of the Lord. We hear the voice of God. We do hear the voice of the stranger. But he gives you the choice of which one we're going to follow, doesn't he? Amen? And his resources are lies. And we've already talked about the lying spirits, because that's the foundation of Satan's kingdom, lying, isn't it? So that lying spirit will bring something. It will bring deception. That deception will bring, anybody remember? Delusion. Why? Delusion is what you see. And that delusion will bring confusion. And that confusion will cause you to make wrong choices. Amen? And Revelation chapter 12. You know, the word tells us that there'll be many who fall from the faith, the falling away. The falling away will come before the son of perdition is revealed. That means many people are going to be deceived. Many people will fall away. They'll go back to either their old way or they'll begin to depart from God's will and walk in their own will because of their desires, their feelings are speaking louder than the voice of God, because they're allowing it to. In Revelation 12 and verse 9, would you read it with me? It says, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the what? Devil and Satan, who what? Deceives the whole world. He was cast to where? He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. That's the body of Christ. For the accuser, everyone say accuser, of our what? Brethren. Listen, this means the accuser, the spirit that accuses or criticizes the believer. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been what? And where was he cast down? To the earth. So this accuser has been cast down to the earth. It is the accuser of brethren. Now, he's been not only cast down to the earth, but he's trying to infiltrate the body of Christ, doesn't he? These are spirits. Again, when you have come into a place where something's occurred, and all of a sudden you get attack of all these voices, one of the first ones you're going to usually hear is accused you. It's going to accuse you from something. Amen? It's going to accuse, it's going to criticize, it's going to bring oppression, it's going to bring fear, it's going to bring anxiety, guilt, it's going to bring bitterness. It's going to bring hatred. It's going to bring pride. All of these areas, I'm telling you, every voice associated with these spirits come up, and that either one of them that can attach onto you will. So you're going to hear the voice of almost every single one, almost all that, bam, 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 bam. You're going to hear boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, what's up? Now, you have a choice of either hearing what they're saying or stepping out of what they're saying. Does everybody got it? You have that choice. But I can tell you that the attack of voices comes to every believer. It says it right here. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down to the earth. They are going to accuse you. They're going to criticize you. These are spirits. Now, spirits use people too, don't they? Amen. In Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verse 12. Listen what he says. He says, I am forgotten like a what? Dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I hear the what? Slander of many. He's hearing it all around. Why? Because that accusing is slandering, isn't it? Fear is on every side. So what's promoting now? Fear. While they take counsel together against me. Well, that certainly isn't godly counsel. It's ungodly counsel. They scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who what? Persecute me. Go to Psalm 44. So we see the voice of the stranger brings what? Slander, criticizes, accuses. How many of y'all know when you hear that voice, you begin to slander yourself? And I mean, the enemy shows up with a baseball bat and says, here you go. Go ahead, come on, beat yourself up. You know you should have done better than that, Mr. Perfection. Psalm 44. Is everybody there? Verse 15. Look at, he says, what? My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me. Because the voice of him, what voice? Voice of the strangers, who approaches and reviles because of the enemy and the what? Avenger. The avenger. Why? Because he's vengeance on you, isn't he? He's out to get you. Remember, the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He can roar. So I'm telling you, you will be attacked by voices. Psalm 55. 1 through 3, Psalm 55, let's speak it together. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and mourn noisily. Because of the voice of the what? The enemy. Because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and wrath they what? They hate me, and they do hate you. And I think that's one of the things that people don't realize, that these voices hate you. They hate you. In Psalm 119, these are called the voices of the enemy or the voices of the stranger. But they're not strange to us. We've heard them for many years. They shouldn't be strange to you by now. Now that you recognize it. See, they're only strange because people don't recognize it. Hello? There are still people that are walking around being led by these voices because they don't know them. They're not recognizing them. And so many people are justifying without recognizing. Psalm 119, in verse, I think it's 67. Oh, let's speak this. Before I was what? Afflicted, I what? Went astray. So what were you afflicted with? What are we afflicted with? Voices, right? That's what we're afflicted with. Before I was afflicted with voices, I went astray. Now I keep your word. Going astray here is very important. When we are afflicted, before we're afflicted, it says we've gone astray. In other words, somehow, some way, sometimes, we step out of covering. We step out of covering because we are afflicted with these voices. Stepping out of covering is multiple meaning. It could also mean that you stepped in the flesh. You're walking in the flesh is stepping out of covering. Has everybody got it? And Jeremiah 6. Before I was afflicted with voices, I stepped out of covering. In verse 24, Jeremiah 6, 24. Would you read it with me? It says, we have heard the report of it. Our hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us. Pain as of a woman in labor. Do not go out into the field. In other words, don't leave the covering. Nor walk by the way, because the sword of the enemy, fear is what? On every side. O daughter of my people, dress in sackcloth and roll about it in ashes. Make mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the plunder will suddenly come upon us. So what is he saying? He's saying, get yourself back in the cover. He was telling them, don't leave the covering. Don't leave the covering. And so many times we leave covering and don't realize what we're leaving. Does everybody understand that? We have a teaching called spiritual covering. One of the coverings, I'm going to go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and verse 4 says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. That arrow is the voice, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. These are all associated with voices. He's saying, don't leave my covering. Stay under my wings. Stay close to me. Genesis chapter 3. Now, one of the things that begin to happen is, the voice of the stranger or the voices of the enemy tries to speak to you to walk away from underneath the covering. Why? So there may be a voice that speaks to you so that you can be attacked by multiple voices. Amen? In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 7, now we know that the voice of the stranger, the serpent spoke to the woman, Eve, right? She partook of the fruit and she gave it to Adam. So they both took heed of the voice of the stranger, the voice of the enemy. They fell. So they walked till they broke covenant, didn't they? Because the Lord said, if you'll not touch that tree or eat that tree, you'll maintain covenant with me. But they broke covenant, didn't they? So they walked from the covering, didn't they? And as they were being removed from the garden, the Lord said something very powerful. It says, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. In other words, they were uncovered. One of the things the enemy tries to do is get you uncovered. So the Lord sewed, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves what? Coverings. So they made themselves coverings, didn't they? But the Lord said, that ain't good enough. I must cover you. Amen? So on their way out in one of these verses, on the way out in, let's see, yeah, in verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God did what? Made tunics of skin and clothed them. So the Lord covered them. Again, one of the things that will remove us from the covering is breaking covenant. Fornication will break covenant. Amen? Adultery and all the other things will break covenant. So that causes us to move out. So it only takes one voice of desire to move you from the covering. And the next thing you know, you got voices from all over the place, don't you? Again, the Lord makes coverings. But it is our responsibility to maintain that covering, isn't it? It's our responsibility. There are three coverings. There's the Lord of Covenant that covers. There's the fellowship that covers. And there's the blood of repentance that covers. Is everybody with me? I'm going to say it again. There's the covenant. There's the fellowship that God puts us in. And there's the blood of repentance that covers us. These are three coverings that have been ordained by the Lord for us to be protected under. In Psalm 8, or Romans 8, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Is everybody okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let's read it together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who did not walk according to the... But according to the... So what the enemy tries to do is he tries to throw a dart to you with his voice to get you in the flesh. You have walked out of the covering. So everybody got it. Why? Because once you walk in the flesh, every voice from hell comes. They know you're not covered. Has everybody got it? Now, can you easily go back into the Spirit? Yes. What do? You repent and you go back under the covering, don't you? Okay. Let's go a little further. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in a likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, read it with me. That the what? The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? So if we're walking according to the Spirit, we're covered, aren't we? Somebody got it. But when we walk according to the flesh, you're attacked by voices from everywhere. Amen? So we see that condemnation or guilt. Isn't guilt the voice of the flesh, voice of the Spirit, or the enemy? So one thing, again, he wants to do is remove us from the covering to walk in the flesh so he can attack us with the voices, more than one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Ephesians 6, 16. Would you read this with me, please? What's the first two words? Above all. Now, he's telling them about putting the full armor of God on. But this is one that he says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the voices of the stranger, the fiery darts of the what? The wicked one. Does everybody see this? Now, listen. It says, taking the shield of faith. Well, if you're in the flesh, are you walking in faith? No, it's when you're in the Spirit, isn't it? There ain't too much when you're in the flesh, is there? So when you're in the flesh, every voice knows. You know, it's like you stepped on the silent alarm. And all of a sudden, whoa, where'd they come from? You know, every voice of guilt, condemnation, everything comes. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. So again, one of the things what the enemy wants to do is try to remove you, sway you out from covering so he can attack you with what? Voices. Galatians 5:16. I say then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a result of the attack of the voices. Amen? A voice first tries to move you from the covering, from the Spirit to the flesh. It attacks you with other voices to get you to open your mouth with criticism, accusation, fear, oppression, perverseness, pride. You know, one of the first things that begins to happen is, you know, he's always looking for something to trigger something, to turn on something. Offense. Offense will turn it on right away. Boom! Man, that puts that person in the flesh, and they hear every voice of the stranger. Boom. Mommy, you can't eat us. I mean, they're all over the place, aren't they? They're trying to attack us with everything. Again, it can start with offense, or it could be a misunderstanding. It could also happen with a trauma. A trauma can get you in the flesh or move you to, that voice, whoo, you know. It could even happen when you don't get what you want. I didn't get what people have a temper tantrum, you know. Or rejection. You know, all of these things will try, this one voice will try to get you in the flesh so it can attack you with the rest of the voices. Listen, my own phone attacks me. I'm telling you, I'll be talking to someone. I think we hung up. My screen goes black. I lay the phone down and that thing is still talking. I'm doing everything I can but throw it out the window. You know, you could, so many things can just, bam, you know, you could run a stop sign or a red light by mistake. I go, oh, my gosh, what did I do? Oh, Lord. I was, but as soon as you say, Lord, I'm sorry, but, you know, the enemy's still trying to, hey, you this and you that, you accuser, you. Man, I used to drive. When I got my truck, I was, because my truck's, it's not real loud, but it's a little bit, you know. So anyways, even the dog knows I'm coming home and stuff. But I come down this one street, and because it's a five-speed, if I was in low gear, it sounds like I'm going fast, but I'm not really going fast. Not that I haven't gone fast, but I was going down this one side street headed to our house one day, and this woman ran out of the house and going, started yelling at me to slow down. And I looked at my speedometer and I thought, okay, I'm a few miles over. All right, that's cool. Boy, that must have, this good woman, man, you know, now she's got the accusing spirit, man. She's got the window. She hears my truck coming. She's opening that curtain. Here he comes. She's got that door open, ready to come out. Man, she could be coming running out all the time. And I'd make sure I was doing a speed limit. And I'm thinking, wow, this lady's off the wall. She'd be running out. And I'm thinking, 20 points. Then I thought, 20 years. Never mind. I'm thinking, whoa. And I started coming down that street, and I'd be praying and binding and stuff. And that held her back for a while. Then one day I wasn't paying attention, thinking everything was cool. You know, and I was about 3 miles an hour over the speed limit. And whoa, she was out there again. I'm thinking, whoa. And then, you know, the accuser. Because, you know, now I'm, whew, you get in the flesh. Oh, that, whatever. And then now all the voices are, yeah, you should have done this and this and this and this and this. And if you would have gone, if you gone around the other way, maybe you have went the speed limit. I'm like, ah, shut up. I repent, turn it over. Hallelujah. You know, paranoia is a state of hearing the voices of the strangers. Sheesh. Again, you know, you, when something occurs, you know, you can see something that somebody is doing that you don't like. You got to be careful. Because you get, oh, man, next thing you know, you just stepped on that alarm. All the voices. Oh, boom, 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 boom. Well, I could do this better. See, now you got pride. Well, not and maybe that person, and maybe that person, and maybe this, and maybe, and maybe you ought to just shut up and step out of that affliction. We call it a puddle of affliction because that's where all those voices are. But I can tell you that offense is very, one of the number one things, because offense is associated with rejection, and people feel rejected when offense comes. And that's usually because there's still pride there. See, dead people don't get offended. One of the things that begin to happen, anxiousness because of fear. We want to try to do something right away. I need to fix this. No, you need to step back and let God do it. Because, see, we go into this place where we make too many mistakes because there's too many voices speaking to us. Once you, again, we are afflicted because we've gone astray, because we've walked from underneath the covering. And if you stay underneath that covering, those three coverings where you don't break covenant, it's a covenant of the Lord in fellowship because you're covered by prayer. And repentance, when you make a mistake, you're covered by the blood. Amen? If you stay in those three coverings, when you make that mistake, you'll go right back to it. It'll become home to you. It'll become a sense of comfort so that when something does occur, you're not going to try to justify. You're not going to try and reason. You won't compromise and you won't run. Because it isn't greener on the other side. It's actually darker. In Psalm 109. You know, sometimes it can be some of the most stupid things that occur. You know? Like if you shut the door on your finger. Oh, man. You stub your foot. You smash something. Man, you come right from underneath that covering. And every voice from everywhere is telling you to say this. Say this! Or punch the window out. or kick the dog, or something stupid. Run your wife over. No, no, I never heard that, hon. Praise God. Thank God I never heard that. Hallelujah. I've heard other things about you, but not that. But I ran right back underneath the covering and overcame those voices. Sometimes you got to crawl to that covering, you know what I'm saying? Because they're like grabbing your ankles and pulling your shirt to try and keep you from... Come on, say something. Next thing you know, you're riding them. They're on your back and you're trying to get back underneath the covering. See, they can't go in that covering. They know it. If they can keep you out, they even try to stand before you in the covering. You got to get them out of the way. Sometimes you need to just drown them. You know? Psalm 109, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me with a cause. Without a cause, right? In return for my love, they are my accusers. Did you ever get into a place where somebody's angry with you and you do not know why? And you know what? They don't either. Somehow something got offended or whatever. Man, they stepped in that thing and all of a sudden, because those voices, every one of those voices is a paintbrush. And they come and they paint that picture. And they painted that picture. Now you got visualization. Look, that's how that person is. But it's actually you that became that picture. Hello. And now you've got this perception, flawed perception of an individual or a circumstance because you don't really know what's going on in it. Or you're not really seeing it through, or you're not even searching it out. But you're just taking what that picture says and this is it! But it really isn't. Then when you finally humble yourself, you repent for being an idiot, and you go search it out, you find out, oh boy, it's not what I thought at all. Or it's only part of what I thought. But there was a reason or a purpose or something more. See, that's where those voices always promote worse first, don't they? Worse first. You know, I always have to use the example of myself, you know, in the area of playing tennis or something in sports. I'm very competitive. I don't like to lose, but I'm willing to lose as long as I've played well. It's not about winning or losing in that arena. It's how I play. If I played well and I lost, praise God. But if I didn't play well, I'm not happy with myself because I know I can do better. But on the court, when you're doing certain things, you've got to be careful. And I have found myself losing games or whatever, getting so frustrated with myself that I've lost because of the way my thoughts were now. Because the enemy knows when you step on that alarm, woohoo, no matter where you are, every voice comes out. And then you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing this wrong, this, no, you got to do this. Next thing you know, you're trying to do all of these things right, and none of them's working. So that's when, again, when you got to realize, Lord, forgive me, and step back, start over. Amen? Get underneath the covering. Get underneath the covering, because that's where peace is, isn't it? Amen? Get underneath that covering of peace. Don't let the enemy push you out or draw you out. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because it says, in reward, verse 4, for my love, they are my accusers, and I give myself to what? Prayer. Prayer. You know, we've got to come to a point where we stop being so concerned what someone thinks about you. It's what God thinks about you. It says, thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. It's what God thinks about you. Those voices are always going to try to bring, they're going to try to steal your identity. They're going to try and bring another image into you. They're going to try to bring all kinds of oppression and heaviness, and that's why Jesus came, didn't he? He came to bring us the truth. He came to bring us his word so that we would know who we are. He came to bring all of these things for us. He came to bring us a sword. And he said, count it all joy when you act like an idiot. Trials and tribulations. Count it all joy. Why? Get out of it and get underneath the covering again. But give yourself to prayer. You know, It doesn't mean that you're going to pull over to the side of the road and sit in the street and kneel down and, oh, God. It's got nothing to do with that. Giving yourself to prayer means you acknowledge the Lord. You say, Lord, I blew it. Lord, what are you doing? You're acknowledging him. He says, acknowledge me and I'll establish your steps. He says, cast your cares upon me. Commit to me your works and I'll establish your thoughts. See, those are areas of attack for us. That's how we get rid of certain things. That's how we get out of back of those, get rid of those voices. Get back underneath that covering. In Psalm 118, pray. In other words, acknowledge your Father. Call on the name of Jesus. He will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. In Psalm 118, in verse 10, it says, what? All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will what? Destroy them. Man, we've been singing that song, in the name of Jesus, which breaks every chain. Every time we get together and sing that song, you need to hand up your chains so they can be broke. Well, I don't have any. Oh, really? You need to ask one of your neighbors. You need to ask someone whether you got a chain or not. Ask your roomie. Ask your friend. Ask your spouse. We all come in with chains. Why? We pick them up and don't even know we pick them up. You know? Verse 11. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will what? Destroy them. They surrounded me like what? Bees. Those are those voices. They're all around you. And they're just coming at you. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will what? Destroy them. I will put, you push me violently that I might fall. But the Lord what? Help me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Now look what happens. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Hallelujah. So that's all we need to do is, Jesus, take your authority in the name of Jesus. Get back underneath the covering of the blood, the fellowship, and covenant. Ephesians 4. In verse 20, he says, but you have not so learned Christ, or the life of Christ, or the example of Christ. If indeed you had heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, then you would put off concerning your what? Former conduct. And the devil ever tell you, how about regret? Oh, if you would have done this many years ago, oh man, these things wouldn't be occurring now. Well, you know what? You can't go back there and change it, but he can. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away what? Lying. Read it with me. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians 4, attack of the voices. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Would you read it with me, please? 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Is everybody okay? Get it? Got it? Know it? Use it? Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So just remember that in that area, that the enemy is always trying to set a trap for you. Starts with one voice, so you come out from underneath the covering and get attacked by multiple voices. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray for each and every one here today, Lord, that your word would not only grow and bear fruit for your glory, but it would come to remembrance in the area and monitor those thoughts, monitor those voices, discern their fruits so that we are not swayed from underneath your coverings that you've established for us. We take full responsibility in that arena to maintain our covering. And I pray today, Lord, that your blessing of this word would spread deep within each and every one, so it would bring your name, glory, and your presence to each and every one. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.